Let's have a word of prayer together and sing. Lord, we thank you for gathering us. We thank you for the community that you built and continue to build in our church family. Lord, we thank you for the things that we're able to share together and do together. We thank you for this sense of family. God, I pray that today as we lift up your name, that you will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Who's this guy? Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, if you don't know, he was an American footballer player. He was a sports ball guy, and he won the Heisman, which is a big deal trophy in college. And he always used to have the little patches under his eyes that said Philippians. That's Phil, short for Philippians. He's not really like some guy named Phil. Philippians for Phil likes that. Maybe Jan should get those. Phil, I, 143, I love you. That'd be nice. Who's going to order those for Jan? No, this is Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, some of you guys are cynics, I know. So you see this picture of Tim Tebow with Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What do you you cynics think? Come on, Chris, tell us.
He can't stay in the NFL.
Yeah, you obviously can't play in the NFL. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, but you can't play in the NFL. You didn't make it.
I can't win the game.
And then this guy. Anybody know who this guy is? He's an MMA fighter. These are the guys that kick, punch, do whatever. Named John Jones. And if you can see it on the screen, I don't know if you really can. He's got Philippians 4:13 tattooed giant across here. That from his shoulder down. And those of you in the front, it looks better on that screen if you look up top there. See, you see that Philippians 4:13, which he can beat the snot out of you because he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. And then Steph Curry, a phenomenal basketball sports baller. And that's my son-in-law's term. He always comes into my house and says, who's winning the match? No matter what it is. He's the type of guy that goes to the game and has Go Sports painted on his chest. But Stephen Curry, he has this written on his shoes. It represents a Bible verse I wear on my shoe. Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's also my mantra, how I get up for games and why I play the way I do. And I'm like, woohoo, that's all cool. I can run marathons through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. I can get a BMW. I can get promotions. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I thought maybe this morning we would just see some of the out of context Hall of Fame verses in Scripture. And that first one is Philippians 4:13, which we're going to focus on this morning about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me and what that actually means. A second one that's in the Hall of Fame for used out of context. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. There are preachers who have huge TV empires or cable empires and everything, who really, this is their backbone, that you ask for anything and Jesus will do it. But when we look at 4:13, you've got guys that are out there who are saying, you can achieve all your hopes and dreams because Christ will strengthen you. And do you want that promotion? You can do it. Claim this verse. Claim it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Athletes, you can do it. Big in sales. It's big in sales and in building businesses among Christians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it, when Jesus said. That's looking and saying, in Matthew 17, 20, 21, the Lord said, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And so we have in the Hall of Fame of out of context verses where we take snippets and make them our backbone or our theology, we set up some real problems. This one's easy, because if I'm going to be that type of preacher and I say you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and I say if you ask for Jesus anything in his name, he will do it for you, and you say to me, Scott, why didn't I get the promotion? I've been praying, I've been praying, and I can say back to you, you didn't work hard enough. You didn't have the faith of a mustard seed. The problem is you. You're not enough. You need to work harder, give more, do more in order to have this thing work for you. You've got to have that. The third one, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I had a 19-year-old girl who was working in a missions type trip, that thing that we were doing together, and she just loved the Lord, and she said to me, I said, what are your plans? She said, well, I'm going to Brown and I'm going to play lacrosse. And I know that that's what I'm going to do. I said, well, how do you know this? She said, well, I've been claiming it in the name of Jesus. And I know that Jeremiah 29:11 says that God is going to prosper me and give me a hope and a future. And that's for me. I mean, it was for the Israelites, but now it's for me. And the Israelites had 70 years of famine right after that verse, by the way. But this one is for me, and I'm going to take this, and God is going to give me a D1 scholarship to Brown, because it's all about my hopes and dreams. And I said to her, because I like to stir the pot a little bit, I said, yeah, but what if God wanted you to give up a year and go work on mercy ships or something? What if God called you to work with the poor or do something like that? No, that's not what I want, and God will give me the desires that I want. See, she knew her scripture pieces well. She did not know her scripture well. She had built, like many people do, a whole theology, a whole base of their life by cherry picking this verse and this verse and this verse. In this verse, she knew that in the Old Testament it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We had a great conversation. I said, do you know that when you delight yourself in the Lord, it transforms your heart so that you want the things he wants? It changes you. That's what that delight yourself. Delight yourself in the Lord. will give you. He will give you the desires of your heart. But you know what? Your desires change. Suddenly that BMW you were naming and claiming, it's really not all that important. So the cynical side of me looks at me, looks at what's going on in Christian evangelicalism, and I look and I see these things and I go, okay, trying to think of any of the apostles who ended up being like, I don't know if I'm gonna go to my mansion in Santa Cruz, Houston, or in Sweden this weekend, and which jet I'm gonna take. I don't know what I'm gonna, no. None of them died as millionaires. By world standards, they all died as losers. They died as martyrs. They were invested in the cause of Christ. And here's what I think particularly happens with us as humans. We have this outer circle that is God. And God is there, and then we say, when I come to Christ, I am in the center. Because Scripture says I'm the apple of his eye. So therefore, I am in the center, and everything I want, he will give me, he will make me comfortable, he will do what I want, he will keep me safe, And that system doesn't line up with Scripture that says that we're to die to self, that we're to put others first, that we're to love God, love others, and live like Christ. Instead, what it should be is this, that Christ redeems, that he pours into me and gives me strength that we're going to find in just a couple of minutes. He pours into me so that I then give up. So that I then am able to serve outwardly. I live outwardly. I follow Christ's commands. You see the difference between these two diagrams? If we've created God in our image, who exists to just give us what we want and make us comfortable, this is what it looks like. Well, what are some of the things we do? Well, God says in Scripture that we welcome the foreigner, that we show hospitality to our brothers and sisters, that we love our enemies. And we say, no, that doesn't make me comfortable. So I don't like that part. So I'm gonna get rid of it. My God exists to give me, me, and I am the center of the universe. With this, God is all things. And yes, I'm the apple of his eye. And when he looks at me and loves me that much and changes my life, it becomes outward. Okay, so let's look at Paul. Let's look at Paul here and see, because he's the one who wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we're going to look at the context of what Paul was writing. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. Now, test that against I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Test that alone against I can name it and claim it. Wouldn't you then write this? I have learned that I can change whatever situation I'm in by naming it and claiming it and doing all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, he's not talking about changing the circumstance necessarily. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. Poverty. And I know what it is to have plenty. Wealth. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all of this through Him who gives me strength. So that verse, when it's talking about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, means that whatever we are facing in life, whatever we are facing, whether like me, I'm facing another surgery, whether like you, you're dealing with a depression or an anxiety, whether you're battling addiction, whatever it is, that you can endure through Christ who strengthens you. That you can not only endure, but that you can experience the peace that makes no sense in Christ. We'll look some more in Paul living the dream. You know, because obviously we can name it, claim it. God has no plans except to give us everything we want, prosper us, and we can do all things. Let's look. Look it up if you want in your Bibles right there or on your phone. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 to 27. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 to 27. This is Paul living the dream. Living the American dream. This sounds like 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Now, I brought a whip, and I'm going to bring Steve up now to... No. This term, 39 lashes, did not mean that the people who were giving the lashes were counting 1, 2, 3. The term 39 lashes means until I was about to die, until I was at my end, and they thought, well, one more is probably going to kill this guy. 5 times. So Paul has a scarred body. Where they gave the lashes, they gave lashes with whips that had pieces of debris in them so they would grab flesh and tear it. You've seen that in the stories of how they crucified Christ. 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Well, that doesn't sound great either. Once I was stoned. Now I need to stop for a moment on this because it's legal in Maine. This is not that. This means they threw rocks at me and hit me with rocks to try to kill me. That's what it means when you see in Scripture, once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea, lost at sea. Me? People say, do you ever want to go on a cruise? I'm like, yes, for Robin. But I don't like the idea of being out there and not being able to see land anywhere. So being lost at sea has got to be a frightening thing. I've traveled on many long journeys. These journeys must have been great, huh? Probably took a lot of pictures, selfies. You know, he's out there, take a picture of me with this buffalo. No, we talked about that a few weeks ago. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities and in the deserts, on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. I have worked hard and long and endured many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. So here's Paul writing about what he has experienced. Remember a few weeks back when we talked about Paul three times asking the Lord to remove the thorn in his flesh, the thing that was bothering him. We don't know what that was. Everybody wants to know what that was. And they missed his conclusion that your grace is sufficient for me. No matter what that thorn is, and I told you that Sunday morning, my thorn, that anxiety, that depression, that PTSD of looking at the surgery that's coming up, that thorn that I have, that I continue to work on and pray, God, resolve this, and have got tools in a toolbox now to help with those things. But it's still there. But I know that the grace of God is greater than that. And it's all I need. It's all I need. So what is Philippians 4:13 about? Here it is. Christ's power can enable us to stand firm on his promises and endure the most difficult challenges of life. That's what it's about. When you are in the middle of that challenge, when you are feeling like the walls are caving in, when you are feeling adrift at sea, when your battle doesn't seem to end, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, means I can face this. I can get through this. I can and I will. Reg and I were just talking about when we look at things that are coming up, we have a choice. We either face it or we run from it. If we run from it, it chases us. So I look and say, this situation that I have, this situation that you have, and say, my God never leaves me, never forsakes me, never turns his back on me. I know this from Scripture and his promises. So, what do I do with this situation? I have hope for what is to come. Romans 8:18 says, for I consider the suffering of this present moment, this present time, not even worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed in me. Not even worth comparing to what God is going to accomplish. See, Christ's power enables us to stand firm on his promises. I ask people, how are you doing? And they say, good under the circumstances. Well, here's what I want to say is, we need to let Jesus infuse those circumstances. Let him infuse those circumstances to give us the strength to endure them, survive them, and even be victorious over them. Let him infuse. Do you know what infuse means? I went to a dentist once that my wife made me break up with because he was too expensive. And she said I needed to find another dentist. I love my dentist. He was so good. He gave me a little powder under my tongue that made me forget everything. But he had in his office, you'd walk in and there is a water cooler. And it had strawberries and stuff in it, and fresh fruit, all this. And it said, infused water. I was like, wow, I love my dentist. And Robin said, he's too expensive, you need to break up with him. Now I have a dentist who doesn't give me anything infused and no happy powder. Let Jesus infuse, soak, Go and then penetrate. Let Jesus infuse those circumstances. It's what I have to do and what I'm working to do right now is remind myself. I need to let Jesus soak in this big old thing of water I got right here and infuse it with what he does. I need to learn to be content whatever the circumstances. See, we can't let the circumstances rob us of our peace, rob us of our joy, rob us of our purpose of loving God, loving people, and living outward, outward. When we just focus on the crisis we're in, and we look for all of those arrows going in, we're not meeting our purpose. When we meet our purpose and start going out, we start finding that we're energized. We start finding when we serve others that it feels good. We start finding when we're serving and loving our neighbors and taking ourselves out of the focus point, it feels good. In John 16:33, Jesus said this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will. He didn't say it three times, I didn't. You will have trouble. And then he said this, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I win. Take heart, I have infused you. My spirit lives within you." Paul ends Philippians, which is a letter about standing steadfast amidst a world gone crazy. And he ends it with this. And as we live out our faith obedient to Christ, he ends with, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." We have to redefine our needs a lot of times, as Americans especially, because Paul shipwrecked, Paul in prison, Paul, he's learned to be content, whatever the circumstance, because he knows his God has infused his life and changed it. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. God, none of us understand it. There's no system in our world that works on just grace, Lord, where everywhere we go, we get what we deserve. We have to earn it. We have to work. We have to do. And yet you say, here is this forgiveness as my free gift. Here is my spirit to infuse your life. Here is my power so that we can face all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you so much for that. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.